The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio,
is about to commence.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
There you go. Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and DeBott.
Your morning is now complete.
Your morning is not complete on Wednesdays. You know, frankly, I forget about that now because Bob's in charge of that. 7:06 in the morning today, the 1st of October. Good morning. And we've lost another month again. Another month has slipped away. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. We have a very eclectic show today, ranging from cheerleaders to Brent Weaver, running for Reading City Council. It's going to be.
Yeah, I would call that a,
The West Valley cheerleaders. The West Valley cheerleaders were like the Northern Division cheerleading champions. And I said, you know, when they're one of the moms told me about it, I said, well, I'd bring them on someday. And that was, like, you know, a couple months ago. And so here's the day. And they can talk about, you know, the big cheerleading competitions and what's it take to be a cheerleader. I mean, you know, cheerleaders, you know, cheerleading is considered a sport, and or they're trying to get it to be considered a sport. It's one of the most dangerous activities that we have out there.
A lot of athleticism.
A lot of athleticism, but they said there could be more injuries on cheerleading teams than on the football field.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, they're doing all
these extreme.
Yeah, I want to talk about that. So we've got a lot of things going today, but let's start off with the weather.
Abundant sunshine on this very first day of October. The high will be in the mid-80s. Overnight lows down into the upper to mid to upper 50s. We'll see temperatures creeping upward into the 90s, but it looks like we'll be staying out of that century zone for the duration. Looks like the worst of the hot weather has passed. Right now in Reading, we are showing 62 degrees. No rain in sight, and this forecast is brought to you by the good folks at Shasta Gas Propane.
That's right. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Locally owned and operated, seniors and veterans discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. Okay, you know, I tell you what, the chat room is erupting this morning on all the new bills that were changed, that were signed, including, and here's the one of the ones I want to talk about, the plastic bag bill. That Governor Brown has just outlawed plastic bags from produce or from grocery stores and convenience stores. And you can still use them at the big box store, like for electronics and that, except for the plastic bags you wrap around meat and veggies.
Mm, okay.
But the plastic bags themselves are outlawed.
I'm so proud to be a Californian.
Well,
on
you know,
this
here's
morning.
The thing about it is, you know, I think, is this something I should get really upset about? You know, because they asked me paper or plastic, and, you know, I say plastic, and it just says paper. So whoever gets the word out first is what we take. But the reason I use plastic is I can use it. I recycle it in a variety of different ways, you know, in trash cans and all this. You put things in it, you know, to protect. I understand, you know, and so, but the part that bothers me is that, and I'm not sure, it wasn't clear when I was reading, you know, the different articles on it. The stores can charge 10 cents per, is it per, paper bag? I'll be okay. Is it 10 cents per paper bag, or is it 10 cents more to use paper bags?
I think it's per bag.
Well, if that's the case, I'm sure they would never say this to their box boys or girls there, is that, oh, don't put in all, you know, just use like twice as many bags as you would ordinarily do when I'm paying for it, because these bags probably don't cost them a penny a piece. Let's just have, instead of five paper bags going out there, let's have eight paper bags going out. And can you imagine how much money that could be? And here's the other thing. Somebody had a real good point. Oh, they want us to use those reusable bags, those, the the cloth bags. The problem with that is you use a cloth bag, and you, because you're carrying all types of stuff in it, you need to wash it. So now you're using water and all the other renewable assets that you need to keep those clean so you can bring it back the next time. And when have you ever seen one of those bags that can carry a lot of stuff?
None. And I'm confused. I'm a little confused here. Help, can you help me out, Colonel?
Well, I'll try.
The whole idea of the plastic bag was to save trees.
Save trees. That's right. We don't need to save trees anymore. We need to save the environment. Oh, wait a minute. But trees don't count as the environment anymore. And then let's talk.
Thank you for clarifying. Let's talk about
thousands. Trees are only good for the environment when the environmentalists want to use trees. All right. Now the other part is this: is the renewable and reusable and all this is what if you want to bring in, say, your own cooler into the store, and you bring the cooler and say, okay, I want to just load all my stuff in the cooler. I want you to load it into this. I mean, can you do that? I mean, it's like bringing in your reusable bags. What if you bring your own plastic bags back in there? Hey, okay, here, just use these plastic bags and have them fill up your plastic bags. Can they do that? There's a lot of questions here, but what about all the people that work in the plastic bag industry? And this is, you know, they're fighting this like crazy. They're going, wait a minute, you're putting all these people out of business. And then is there a direct link to the plastic bags and harming the environment?
Well, the new ones, I understand, break down fairly readily. I put some bottles in a bag on the back porch and picked it up, and then the whole thing fell apart into this powder. So it seemed to be fairly biodegradable.
They have biodegradable plastic bags at the farmer's market. And that's cool. That's SunGold. And, hey, what about what happens when you go out with your doggy?
The dog do.
The doggy. What happens up at Benton Dog Park? What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, because there's special bags you can buy for dog poop.
For a small fee. Yeah.
For a small fee. Okay. Now, this one, I haven't even gotten to, that was one of the things I wanted to talk about. Student loans for illegal aliens. It was also signed. I didn't see that in the front pages of the paper. So that was also signed to allow illegals to get. And I haven't gone back and looked at that one. But to let, thanks, Onion Grower. To let illegals get student loans when we have locals who can't get student loans. Now, the one last thing I'm going to say about the bags is, Carl, you can use a large woven basket. I do it all the time. Checker takes the stuff out to scan and puts it back in. SunGold, you know what? That doesn't surprise me about SunGold.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? SunGold's always ahead of everybody else.
You know, I can see having some social pressure to try to make these small changes that over a large scale add up. What I'm objecting to is the legislators shoving another law down my throat for my own good.
Well, you know what? It's not about you anymore. It's about the communal. It's about the community. It's about that's
the
not
village.
Good. Forget about individuals. It's what's good for the community. Why are we forced to wear helmets on motorcycles? I mean, it's my head. Well, it's because the community pays for your injuries. Well, the community pays for my injuries anyway, with a helmet on or not.
Yeah.
You fall off a motorcycle doing 50 miles an hour or 40 miles an hour, somebody creams you, as has happened to me.
You'll be a cognitive cripple.
Guess what? And guess what? The community will take care of you, except I had insurance, which is one of the things you're supposed to have is insurance. So, but you can't wear that. It's because it's not good for the community. Well, let's just get into this. What about seatbelts? What about seatbelts? Oh, I'm not wearing a seatbelt, so I'm more inclined to be injured in a wreck than you are. Well, we save lives. It's my life. And, you know, I didn't see you out there, Jerry, when we're sending these young men out, you know, along these roads in the in Hummers that we knew weren't going to stop an IED. Why don't you make a law then? It says we all had to have MRAPs, but they didn't do that not until the war was over.
Well, now
not that the war's ever, not that the war is ever going to be over. The war will never be over, you know. And Obama saying things like, you know, and it was a good article, you know, a good editorial today. Record Searchlight. Wait a minute. I know it's hard for me to ring a bell there, but what they said was, here's Obama drawing lines and saying, oh, there'll be no boots on the ground. It's crap. Of course there'll be boots on the ground. There's boots on the ground now. And what he didn't say is, how many contractors are out there right now doing the job of the military? They never mentioned that. How many contractors do you think are out there?
Well, you were once.
I did that, yeah.
You did that once.
I did contracting out there. And I tell you what, we did things, we were out there doing the job that the military was doing. Except getting paid more. All right, we got to take a break. Before we take a break, though, I would like to, you know what, just have a moment here. Just turn that one off, because Dick Dickerson passed away last night.
No.
Yes, Dick Dickerson passed away last night. And we'd like to here was a man who was stood up for veterans' rights. He was a law enforcement officer, was one of our assemblymen. I think
city council,
mayor, board of supervisors. Here's a man that got involved with the community, supported the veterans, supported this community, a man of strong beliefs. And, you know, there's just no doubt that, you know, he let you know how he felt. But a man of extremely good humor, a courageous man.
He, even though I didn't always agree with him, I respected his drive.
But you don't have to, because he was an honorable man. And you don't have to always agree with people to respect them.
Wow.
Anyway, Dick Dickerson passed away yesterday. So,
rest in peace.
Rest in peace. All right. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens. And this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Reading, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
Hi, folks. Bob Dunlap, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. If you've served in the active duty of the armed forces and are impaired because of an accident, injury, or exposure to hazardous substance, you may be eligible for compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. The compensation program is your country's way of honoring your service and sacrifice by providing financial assistance to bridge the gap between what you are able to earn now and what you could have earned if you were not impaired. VA compensation claims could be as simple as a hearing loss claim to a very complex muscular, skeletal, or neurological disorder. Be wary of individuals who offer assistance with your VA claims, especially those who ask you to pay for VA claims assistance. Your Shasta County Veterans Service Office is here to help. We are accredited, and there's never a charge for our services. For more information on how we can help, please call us at 225-5616.
Beginning October 1st, the KCNR 1460 daily lineup changes with Laura Ingram from 9 a.m. to noon. Then, noon to 3, America's favorite financial and political analyst, Dave Ramsey, with one of the highest rated programs on the radio today. Mark Levin will remain at 3 to 6, followed by Dennis Miller and Roger Hedgecock. KCNR 1460 with Nate Arborea on sports and more local programming than anyone else in Northern California. KCNR 1460, the pulse of the North State.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Good morning. This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. Serving the North State for over 20 years. We just saw Martin yesterday. And the fact is that it's getting ready to be, winter's coming in. You've got heating systems that need to be cleaned out, need to have them all checked, the ducts checked. The heating coils, it cleaned, all your filters changed. You can do this with, of course, Alliance Heating and Air. And you can set up a regular program that takes care of your heating and cooling systems. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day service during emergencies, warranties, and guarantees. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. You were chuckling, Bad Bob.
Just comment in the chat room about people who frequent a certain big box store. There's an actual website dedicated to that. Did you know?
I know. Why would they bother washing? If they don't wash their clothes, why would they bother washing a bag? Okay. All right. Enough of that. Okay. Plastic bag. The first case of Ebola has hit the States. A guy coming from Liberia landed, of course, in Texas. It's always got to be Texas. And now is extremely ill. But here's our first case of Ebola is coming in. This is killing thousands of people over in Africa. I hope that, I hope it doesn't get a little foothold here.
Well.
Here's the symptoms. It's like you got the flu. I'd never made it back from London, or half our people wouldn't have made it back from London.
I have a concern, however. I recall, and I was thinking about that this morning. Not long ago, there was that SARS was going to take us all down. That the nuclear plant in Fukushima was going to sterilize the West Coast of the United States. That the pipeline blowout was going to destroy the ecosystem of the East Coast. Yeah, this is serious, but I think that the system. I mean, I'm not a Pollyanna, but I think that the system has a certain amount of resiliency built into it.
Well, yeah, not everybody will catch Ebola.
Yeah.
Just 85% that catch it.
Well, there are those who say that would not be a bad thing. I'm just saying.
Unless you're one of that 85%.
Yeah, well, true.
There you go. All right, let's talk into – they passed another law yesterday. They just signed all types of laws yesterday. The one on the – you're right, though, Onion Grower. I did not see the one about the illegal aliens being able to get scholarships. I mean, it's, but why not? I mean, they're going to let – Obama's kicking 20,000 soldiers out and 10,000 Marines and letting illegals come in because we need their abilities. I mean, come on. I mean, what do you expect in this state? I mean, it's a sanctuary state anyway. I mean, maybe it doesn't say it, but it is. Okay, how about this one? Family members can now go to a judge and say, I don't want my family member to have a gun. And then the family member has to go in front of the court and prove that he is not or she is not a danger to himself or others. And they're using as an example the UC Santa Barbara killings. And this is exactly what they said. Now, I did not see one thing in that law about that a family member can go to a judge and have knives taken away from
the
person or the car. Now, here's the thing. He killed more people with a knife than he did with a gun. The last person he killed with a gun was himself. That one doesn't count. That one doesn't count. No. Okay, get upset. I don't care. It doesn't count. He shot other people. He killed other people with a knife and a gun. Then he killed himself. His death doesn't count. The others do. And so they didn't say anything about taking a knife away. Oh, I want a restraining order. I want the knife taken away, judge, from my cousin. I think he's going to hurt himself with that knife.
He whittles.
He's a wild whittler.
Whatever happened until innocent until proven guilty?
Okay, and here's something you're not going to like out there. This Ray Rogers, a guy that whacked his wife. Then they've got a couple others in there, including they're going after Hope Solo, who is the goalie for the U.S. soccer team. She said, I didn't do this, and she's been accused of it. So people want her thrown out of her job. Where does it say if a lawyer smacks, is accused, I shouldn't say does, but is accused of spousal abuse that he can no longer practice law until the courts say he's guilty or not? Frankly, because we're in some kind of frenzy about this, that people are they're taken away from their livelihood. Now, if they're suspended from the team and they still get paid, that's fine. You know what? Okay, you want to still pay them? That's fine. But until they go to a, you know what? What happened to innocent till proven guilty? What about that? And then this whole thing of based on UC Santa Barbara is just ludicrous. The guy kills his three roommates with a knife first, and then he goes on his, you know, it's already a murderous rampage at that point. So now, but it's got to be a family member. Really? Well, what happens if I say, you know what? I've been watching Bad Bob for 3 years now, and I'm, you know what? He's got guns. He carries guns, and I'm afraid he's going to use them on somebody. I'm not his relative, but I think something should happen. Is that the next step, that if somebody else gets into your life and says, I don't think he should have guns? You know, now the cops can come to your house and take your weapons. And then at the same time, you've got to prove that you're not, there's something wrong with you. What happened? You know, this could be a divorce that somebody's going through, or a breakup of some kind, and this is their way of getting at people. I mean, they throw these restraining orders out all the time. As soon as you get a restraining order, they can take your guns.
Are we going to have little boxes on the corner into which you can anonymously insert your concern about one of your fellow citizens? Kind of a Stasi thing, you know, where half the population is spying on the other half? It's a little chilling.
You know, it's funny, they won't... It is, and it's funny in a way that we start doing these things to ourselves, so we can be out in front of what, of taking, see who can take away more rights of people, and then you add this. Did you see? I have seen the environmentalist mark. Okay, about the plastic bags, right? You've seen that. Now they've drawn a conclusion. They've drawn studies that have said marijuana cultivation is harmful to endangered fish, the coho salmon, coming out of Oregon and Northern California, because the fact is that they use the herbicides they use. They steal the water. The clear cutting and all this is a danger to the coho salmon. Where are the environmental groups saying shut down these marijuana operations? 3 years ago when this thing broke, when they were doing it up at Hayfork and they were just leveling areas out there, I called the what's that big organization, Sierra Club. I called the Sierra Club and said they are destroying the environment up here. They are clear cutting. They are using it for marijuana groves. They're putting pesticides from other countries into the water system. What are you guys going to do?
That's law enforcement.
Well, that was just nothing. We're not going to do anything because there's no bucks in that. You know, that's essentially it. But what are we going to do? You know, here it is. They've drawn a conclusion that illegal marijuana groves either illegal or whatever, has been destroying the coho salmon, which is an endangered species. So do you think they're going to go out there, the Fish and Game Department is going to go out there and start launching crop spraying with male pollen for marijuana to wipe out all these fields? What do you think? I don't think they're going to do that.
No.
It is.
It's not glam.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay,
it's not about throwing hardworking citizens off their own property, you know.
Yeah, and so on. The rezone was approved 3-2, and now everything can move forward. You know, the permitting can move forward, the sale can move forward this month on the 23rd. The auction is going to be, and it's interesting how this is. You know, this could have been solved, you know, years ago. Russ Maul and Rivers and Selma got into it. And hearing in Selma's side of it, I can understand why. And that the fight was on, and it's lasted as long. And Selma at the end of this is going to pay $1.3 million to the county here, which maybe we can use for sheriff's deputies, and all those kind of things. But you know, when they voted, it went 3-2. Went forward because of Chappelle and Les Baugh. And I'm drawing a blank here from the north. Pam Giacomini.
Giacomini, yeah.
Voted for it. Modi and Kehoe voted against it. Modi voted, he said, look, I think we ought to, the only reason I'm voting against this is because I think we should do what the planner said. It should be 38 acres instead of 30. You know, so it should be along those lines. He agreed with the planning commission and the staff. So, you know, a hurrah for Leonard Modi, even though he voted against it, it's because of that. They knew it was going to pass at that point. Kehoe says, no, I'm not voting for it. You know, this is wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if he's ever, I don't know if Dave's ever even been up there to it, and it's almost not that it, probably makes a difference. Anyway, so now it can move forward. So you're going to see on October 23rd, it probably will be auctioned off.
Mm-hmm.
There's already been a lot of interest in it up there.
I really hope that's such a valuable asset.
You know, it is absolutely.
And a great place to go eat.
It's a fabulous place to eat. It's a, you know, they've got weddings all the way through next July already booked out up there. It's just, you know what, it is a destination. And whoever buys it now can put up a 16-room or 18-room, whatever it is, 12-room boutique spa up there. And why not? Why not bring more business and something else up here to the North State? And the people up in that area say, oh, no, we don't want it like that. Some of the people in the area don't want it like that. Well, you know, what kind of impact is it really going to have on you? It's not going to have a water impact, and you just don't want somebody to you don't just want something to grow on their own property. It's their own property. You know, they can kind of do this. It's not like they're polluting the air. They're not bringing in a wood chip factory or a plastics factory up there. You know, it's what you can do on your own property. And once you go through the system, why not be able to do things? It's your property. All right. Hey, we're going to take a break here. This portion of the show has been brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Discounts for veterans, Espresso Joe's, a great coffee, great cold drinks, too, and walk next door to the funnest walk-in humidor in the state. Not only that, but they have every type of tobacco accoutrement you could imagine, plus e-cigs in all shapes and flavors. All this at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back.
Pizza Shack. Even the commercials are homemade.
By me.
And me.
And us.
Mary's great-grandsons, Vincent Luigi here, celebrating Mary's Pizza Shack's 55th anniversary with a radio spot made by 55
friends, family,
and kids.
From all the way back in 1959, when Mary started the first shack in Sonoma Valley.
Today, there are 19 shacks. From Walnut Creek,
where kids make their own pizzas,
to Santa Rosa,
where the meatballs are as big as your head.
And every one of them makes Mary's legendary homemade pizzas, pastas, and salads with our secret family recipes.
Just like Mary did back in 1959.
I've been coming to the shack since before you were born.
Whoa, how old are you?
That's not an appropriate question.
Thanks to everyone for 55 great years.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
Hello, folks. I'm here with our local hero, Bob the Drop from Mount Shasta Springwater. Bob, I want to thank you for all the support and good things that Mount Shasta Springwater does for our local communities.
You are welcome. And rest assured, we will continue to support our local friends and supply them with the best spring water in the world.
How can people get your great tasting spring water, Bob?
Just call us at 1-800-922-6227.
That's 1-800-922-6227?
Yes, for the healthiest, best tasting spring water in the world.
The City of Reading Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. The summer is a good time to give your irrigation system a tune-up. Remove anything blocking the sprinkler heads and fix any broken ones. Look at the spray heads on your sprinklers while they're working. Adjust them to avoid overspray onto driveways and sidewalks. Excess water flowing into the gutter doesn't help your landscape, and it can pollute our creeks and rivers. Be water smart. Visit ReadingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Reading Water Utility.
Everybody calls us summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
Bark and Wine.
Don't forget Brew.
Yes, Brew also. Hoping you will join us Saturday, October 4th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center for the 7th Annual Haven Humane Wine and Beer Tasting with Sit-Down Dinner, Live and Silent Auction, and Basket Drawings.
This event is our premier fundraising event to help the animal population of our area. For tickets and more information, call Haven Humane Society or go on havenhumane.net.
You did that very well.
Well, I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 7:34 in the morning. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we're chatting on KCNR1460.com. 62 degrees. Going to be a nice day today. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. And I am here with, I can't say I'm surrounded by cheerleaders because Bob would get angry if I said that. But I'm here with the West Coast Champions, part of the West Coast Championship cheerleading team from West Valley here. I'm here with Melina Paris, who is one of the cheerleading stars. Is that right? Good morning, Melina.
Good morning.
And I'm here with their coach, Mindy O'Dell.
Hello, everyone.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's put that one down a little bit further. Just pull that down in front of you there. And that one in front of you. And of course, Kim Lamone, who is a
cheer mom.
Cheer mom. Okay, you know, cheer moms. That's like, you know, swim moms and all that. You got to be out there.
Soccer mom. Cheer mom. Woo-hoo!
Okay, I'm going to go to Mindy real quick here. Mindy, champions. I mean, that's not easy, is it?
No. You know what? There's a lot of hard work. We're kind of a year-round sport. We start in the spring, and they work all the way through football and basketball, and then also have to prepare a competition routine and find time for that, as well as keeping their grades up and, you know, giving back to their community and
now,
everything.
Now, people don't realize this, but in some districts, they count cheerleading as a sport. But you're saying is that you have all the same, you get all the same benefits as if it was a sport? And I'm not sure what those benefits are, though.
Yeah, so even though we're not considered a sport in our district, we still have the benefits of, you know, the girls getting PE credit for participating in cheerleading. So they're recognizing that our students are athletes. But because we're not governed by CIF, that's one of the main reasons why we're not considered a sport yet.
Okay. Now, cheerleading is not an easy sport. I mean, those you do, y'all do. Do y'all do the high flying stuff where you throw people in the air, Melina? Do you? Oh.
Yeah.
My goodness. So they've shown me a picture here. You know what, Bob, I don't even think our bodies move that way. And I'm sure they didn't when I was back in high school. But so you have the high-flying types of things where they throw you in the air?
Yeah, we do. Like our team is – we do a lot of stunting. We mainly focus on stunts.
There's a lot of tumbling in this and gymnastics?
This year we have two girls, two tumblers, but there hasn't really been tumbling before. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, when people are doing backflips and, I mean, all these things, I mean, that to me is gymnastics, and then you're holding each other up in the air. Injuries, a lot of injuries in cheerleading.
Yeah, definitely. With our stunting comes a lot of safety issues, and you have to make sure that the girls take proper precaution to prevent those injuries. So we really stress safety and making sure that everyone's doing their job 100%, because if not, that means the girl's falling from, you know, 5-6 feet up in the air.
At least that much. Yeah. Oh, okay. Now, you all have something going here. You've got this Friday. You've got a fall fashion extravaganza. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's $5 entry. That gets you food, entertainment, shopping, and a whole bunch of fun. And its doors open at 5:30. The event starts at 6 and goes till 8 o'clock. And we have a ton of vendors. And
where's it going to be at?
It's going to be at West Valley High School in our Performing Arts Building. So we'd love to see you guys come out and join us. We have tons of vendors and local stores that are going to be modeling clothing.
We're talking about lots of stores here. I mean, there's lots of stores here. Like, what's some of the ones that you have?
Well, I'd love to give a shout out to Devon's Jewelers. First off, they are donating our grand prize, which is a diamond necklace. So that's awesome. We also have Buckle, Classic Trends, Clothing Revival, For Elise, Maurice's, Pistol Rose, Rue 21, Susie's, Sports LTD, Sportsman's Warehouse.
Oh, everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have
now,
a lot.
How do people get tickets?
You can purchase them at the school, or you can go ahead and just show up that night, and it's $5 to get in, and yeah, we'd love to see you come out.
So can I bring my motorcycle gang in, and we'll just come in and, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Everyone's invited. It's
going to
be a great
invited.
Night.
All right, now, what do you think? You know, Melina, we're talking all around you here, and how long have you been a cheerleader?
I've actually been cheering since I was little. I used to, like, play basketball and cheer when I lived in Sacramento. And then I moved up here and had to choose because I tore some ligaments in my knee and had to get surgery. So I chose cheer, and I've been cheering 2 years at West Valley.
Isn't cheer harder than basketball?
In some aspects,
In some aspects, okay. So do cheerleaders, are cheerleaders still, like, the super cool people in school? I know that's not a fair question because you're one of them. You know what? But you wear your uniforms on Friday. Hey, Linda used to be a cheerleader. That's why. You know. Nice. And in fact, we were going through finding moving a bunch of old books, and found one of her yearbooks, and there she was in the air screaming, cheering. So, but you get to wear your uniforms on Fridays and all that.
Yeah.
That's cool. You get to travel with the team, or do y'all just kind of drive as a group?
Oh, we drive as a group. We carpool it up.
How many hours a week do you work on cheerleading?
Like 10-ish hours.
Can you get scholarships for cheerleading?
Oh, definitely. There's a lot out there today.
Really? So you can get a scholarship for cheerleading. That's cool.
We've had actually a lot of girls go on from our squad and go into college cheer, so it's been great.
So do you ever see them on TV?
I don't think so.
Not yet, but we do have, my daughter, for example, is a last year graduate, but she is trying out today for the BYU-Idaho stunt team. Oh. And so if she makes it, then they do a lot of college activity days, and once you're in college, that leads to other things. You can, I know BYU-Idaho has connections with Disneyland, and so there's things that can lead into. So those high school scholarships getting you to college can open doors for the girls.
Well, that's great, you know, and it's a lot of work. Like I said, and you know, the things I see are, you know, of course, they're carrying the cheerleader off the field. The football players are all looking down, and they're carrying the cheerleaders off the field, you know, and they've got their, they're still cheering on their way out. You know, I'm just, I don't remember our cheerleaders being that enthusiastic, but then again, hey, it was a long time ago. And then when you go back to your 50th high school, you know, reunion, you get to go back and try to recognize each other. Anyway, okay, so, but it's something that, and what grade are you in?
I'm a junior this
year.
You're
a junior, so this is something you're going to keep pursuing then through school?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's great. All right, one more time, the extravaganza is going to be this Friday at West Valley?
Yep. This Friday, West Valley, from 6 to 8, come on out.
Okay, now, do we get a cheer here?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, give us a cheer, and we'll go into a break right there. This is Melina. This is Melina Paris, and we're here with their coach, Mindy. Mindy, do you volunteer to do this, or is this something?
Pretty much. It's a volunteer type job, yeah.
Because you were a cheerleader.
Oh, yep. I cheered for 4 years at West Valley.
Oh, you did? And then did you go cheer anywhere else?
No, I went to Simpson and then came back and started working at my old high school.
Well, that's cool. All right. And then cheer mom.
Yes.
Just boom-ba.
Woohoo! Yeah! Go girls!
Okay, here's Melina Paris, part of the West Coast Championship cheerleading team from West Valley, is going to give us a cheer.
With my coach, Mindy.
With your coach, Mindy. Okay. All right.
Okay,
we have dead time here. Come on.
One, two, three, go!
We are the Eagles WVHS. We are the Eagles WVHS.
Once more.
We are the Eagles WVHS. Yes.
Okay, now they're jumping up and down. They're doing backflips. I wish all of you could see this. Oh, my gosh. They're just leaping around. And they're doing handstands on each other's hands. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot for coming here. Remember, and who do they call about your extravaganza here?
You can call the school at 530-347-7171.
Thank you very, very much, ladies. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460. Hoorah.
Hi,
I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens. And this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
Hi, this is Zoe from Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PacSave, DeKine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley. That's Zoe's Travel Shop located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew. Guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, Linda's on assignment today. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Fort Wins Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive, a huge selection of estate jewelry there, plus the only trained watch repairman in town. All of Foreman's Jewelry across the street from Sierra Gibbs. 2225 Hilltop Drive. And plus, Leonard and his associates have donated to Liberty on the Border down at Turtle Bay that we're raising money for. Okay, we're back. We're switching gears from cheerleaders to more cheerleaders. These cheerleaders, though, are for the wonderful Women's Fair, a place for women in business to come together, and that's going to be October 5th at the Caldwell Park Picnic Area on Quartz Hill Road right here in Reading from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Proceeds to benefit the NorCal Think Pink and La Leche?
La Leche.
I know what that is. La Leche League. We had a cheerleading demonstration. I don't think we're going to go into the Leche demonstration here.
Not today.
Okay. Now we're talking here is that the founders or creator of the event is Bridget Baldo.
Good morning.
And what exactly is this?
Well, it's kind of a way for women to get together. I kind of felt that wonderful women love to work hard and have fun, care for themselves and their family as well as enjoy life. So I figured a day in the park with friends and family would be a great way to just be relaxed, comfortable, and have an informative day, locally minded. I felt that it was a really great area with a great balance of nature, and it seems like Reading really has a lot of inspiration for culture right now.
A lot of things going on.
Yeah, and so with all these common denominators, I thought if we could just kind of connect them, we could see what could happen. And it's blossomed into something absolutely huge.
Well, you know, to put things on like this, you need sponsors. And Nancy Kolb, who is one of our friends, Nancy, why don't you just kind of lean in here from your realtor over at Real Living. And how'd you get into this?
Okay, well, I met Amanda at the closet where Fonny and I'm the seamstress by night and the realtor by day, so to speak, and heard of it. And I said, okay, let's get involved. Let's get this out to the community as businesswomen ourselves. And I called Linda as a businesswoman herself. And so that was the connection.
Okay, and when we talk about Amanda, because you know, Amanda Shimko, is that
Shimko.
You're kind of what you're partners with Bridget.
Yeah, she's been a lifesaver for me. Having people like her support me and believe in me has made this happen. She's so high-functioning that this thing has just brought it together. She's really connected a lot of the dots for me.
Okay, we also have Fonny Vernon here, who is owner of The Closet, and that's a resale boutique. So what do you do there at The Closet, Fonny?
Yeah, we're located at 1167 Hilltop, The Closet Boutique. We're an upscale, trendy resale consignment shop. We have 450 to 500 women consigners. It's all about supporting women, women bringing things in to sell. We have handmade items, designer labels and brands, Miss Me's, Rocks, Levi's, Abercrombie, all that fun stuff. We also have coffee in our shop. And my husband and I, it's a mom and pop husband and wife store. My husband, Greg Vernon, Blacksmith's Coffee. We sell it there. It's also in the Enjoy store, and he's here with me too. And the coffee, he's a roaster. So he's got his coffee and different types there.
Yeah, Craig's here too. And so you you roast your own beans and supplies, and you sell your coffee like in Enjoy the store and other places?
Correct, yeah. I just recently relocated the business from Eastern Oregon down here.
Okay.
And so I've been roasting coffee up in Oregon for about 10 years and have just brought it down into the area. And basically it's available through The Closet and also at the Enjoy store.
Now, does it sell cups of coffee, or does it, or is it like you just beans? And
yeah, I roast right now.
Okay.
We're in the process in the future coming down. Hopefully, we'll be able to start up a cafe.
Okay.
But right now, it's beans and basically selling the beans and also for other businesses as well.
Okay. So, and we like really like Enjoy the store. They're with us on a
yes.
regular basis here.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all of this is going to happen. What's inspired you to do it? And Amanda, how hard is this to put together?
This is our first event, and I started out just helping try to find vendors for Bridget and ended up coordinating the event. It's been a lot of trial and error, a learning experience, but overall the positive feedback we've had, it's made it a lot easier.
35 vendors is incredible.
Yeah.
I can't believe we've gotten 35 vendors for this
event. We were hoping for 15 to 20, and now we're almost at 40.
Wow.
So. And people emailing, calling in daily to try to be a part of it.
Well, it should be. Now, this is all outside.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be this Saturday, and it's going to be beautiful weather.
I think it's on a Sunday. Yeah, it's this Sunday.
Oh, 5th. Okay, you're right.
And, Sunday. So that'll be good, too. Actually, I guess the day prior, they're doing a creek cleanup down there. So there's a cleaning crew cleaning up for us, which is great. And then they'll have our event, and I'll be doing pink extensions on anybody who wants them for breast cancer awareness. Wow. And there's going to be face painting and a hula hoop contest.
Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yeah.
Is this month, and they're going to be opening. They're going to be lighting up the sundial. The also, this is all free.
Yep, it's free.
All free.
Mm-hmm. It's free. I mean, you can attend for free.
Yeah,
but,
you can
anything
absolutely.
But you can. You can you're going to have raffles
the park,
there.
Raffles.
Yeah, we're hoping people donate to breast health awareness.
Okay, a raffle from Real Living Real Estate. Can you win a house?
No,
maybe not when you want.
Somebody wants to donate.
Yeah, there we go.
A hula hoop contest. I'm going to enter my producers in the hula hoop contest.
Wow, yeah, that's amazing.
All of them.
And then
face painting. So we'll do face painting too.
We'll be wrapping up some coffee.
That's right. You know, I like the lightning's, you know, on their face there. Okay.
The bolts and stuff, yeah.
Hey, you know, this is really cool. Getting this is your first time at this. So,
yes.
What you want is 1,000 women, businesswomen down there at some point, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, we start talking about the NorCal thing, Pink, and just really involved in that. And all the different things that people do. It's a cancer that can be treated successfully if caught early.
Yes.
Three types of cancer, from what I understand, colon, cervical, and breast cancer. It's not a death warrant when you get it by any means, but you need to get checked. And I realize a lot of things are happening this month to help women check on those kind of things. Okay.
There'll also be a rock and rest station out there. It's a little place for people to kind of collect and relax. And also, Snow Mountain Water has donated an extreme amount of water, and I'm really excited to have them too. Mm-hmm. Great company to be working with on this event.
They can find raffle tickets also at our shop to buy.
Talk to me.
They can buy raffle tickets at the Closet Boutique
on
Hilltop, 1167 Hilltop. We have the tickets there to sell.
Right.
We're even donating gift certificates for the shop and clothes.
Oh,
you can come in
and
coffee. And so I just want people to know that come in and buy raffle tickets and help support the event, because that's what we're about.
Yeah, and you can also get pre-sale raffle tickets at All Animal Grooming off Lake Boulevard and Real Living Real Estate off Court Street. You don't have to be present to win, and proceeds will be going towards breast health awareness.
Okay. Wow. And it's to get all the ladies together, but also the men who love the ladies.
Yes. Right? And the kids, too.
And the kids.
You're taking
everybody there.
Absolutely.
There's going to be food there. There's going to be all types of stuff, right?
Yes.
All right. It goes from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's free. It's right down at Caldwell Park picnic area. It's a wonderful women's fair. It's the first time for it, but it's probably good just to kind of stop by there and see what's going on. And, you know, because it's good for the women to network, and also the males and their families also, to help people get a start. As, you know, we're starting to turn the economy around somewhat. This is probably a good way for people to do that.
Yeah.
And a nice day in the park. Nice and shady day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be a great day in the park. Okay. Now, if anybody has any questions, who do they call?
They can call me or Amanda. We also have a
Wonderful Women's Fair email. So it's Wonderful Women's Fair, no EFAIR, @gmail.com. You can call me, Amanda Shimko, at 410-4980.
Who's 368-7351?
Bridget is 530-368-7351.
There's also a lot of information on Facebook for the event.
Okay, well, leave this thing with us, and we'll talk about it this week and remind people what's going on.
Okay.
This Sunday.
So
yes. Yeah, Wonderful Women's Fair, a place for women in business to come together. October 5th, this Sunday, in Caldwell Park, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. is going to be this, like, you know, buku benders down there. And
it's something, yeah,
right. Something for everybody here. raffles, bridal guides, bracelets, pure romance. I'm not sure what that is.
Come down and find out.
A money maker right away. Okay, then, well, thank you very much. Nancy, thanks a lot for giving us a call on this. And,
you're welcome.
Anytime we can do to help you all on this, please let us know.
Thank you.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
Hey, just everybody hang on for a second. After the break, we're going to have Brent Weaver will be here with us, and he's going to be talking about his run for Reading City Council. And also an email that kind of went around yesterday at about 3 o'clock concerning that. We want to address that. And also the things that Brent would like to do if elected, his priorities in the city, his thoughts on crime, unfunded liabilities, all these, just as we have had for everybody else over the last week and a half. And we're going to do it again at the end of October, so you get one more shot at it. If you haven't already voted, appears that all the mail-in votes are going to be mailed out here this week. So you'll be able to get them in the mail and make your decision. And we'll also have the Measure A and B and Measure F, all of these. Be here on in the next couple of weeks right here on KCNR 1460. One more time here is the Wonderful Women's Fair. Is a place for women in business to come together October 5th, this Sunday, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Caldwell Park Picnic Area. proceeds to benefit NorCal Think Pink and La Leche. I've got like 30 seconds left here. So, Bridget.
Pink extensions. Come Pink have extensions. Fun.
And you just thought about this just to do it.
Yeah, well, I'm a hairdresser, and so I needed to launch my business and my extensions. And this is a great way to get a lot of people together, and maybe you don't want your hair done. Maybe you want some jewelry. Maybe you need some real estate. We all have something different to offer. We all have something different we want.
What's the name of your business?
My name is, well, I'm at Perfect Creations, and I'm pretty much my own business.
Okay.
So, yeah,
Perfect Creations. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back and with Brent Weaver.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Authorities are tracking down family, friends, and anyone else who may have come into close contact with a man in a Texas hospital with the Ebola virus. Federal health officials say the man arrived in Dallas from Liberia September 20th. Meanwhile, CDC Director Dr. Tom Frieden says a team from the CDC has been dispatched to help state and local authorities.
What we'll do is identify every contact and make sure they're traced and monitored every day for 21 days for fever. If anyone develops fever, immediately isolate them to stop the chain of transmission.
At this point, officials say nobody on the plane was at risk because the man had not shown symptoms at that time. Israel's prime minister pays a visit to the White House today for Oval Office talks with the president. Here's White House correspondent Greg Cluxton.
The White House press office says the meeting will focus on Mideast peace, Iran's nuclear threat, and the Islamic State. But with peace talks in shambles, U.S. officials have few expectations for the Israeli-Palestinian front anytime soon. Instead, when Prime Minister Netanyahu visits today, officials say the talks with the president will likely focus almost exclusively on Iran's nuclear program at Netanyahu's request. Greg Clugston, SRN News, The White House.
A private survey shows private employers continued hiring at a solid pace in September.
The ADP number was strong, broad-based, and all in all, a pretty good number.
And that is Moody's Analytics Chief Economist Mark Zandi, who says, for that matter, all sectors of the economy showed some solid job growth.
Job gains are broad-based across industries and company sizes. The one standout this month was in manufacturing. Saw an outsized gain, an unusually large gain in manufacturing jobs.
It's been slow going in early trading on Wall Street. Right now, the Dow is down just about 150 points. This is SRN News.
You have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
His insight on parenting has informed a generation. Now, Dr. James Dobson introduces his book and 8-part film series for a new generation, Building a Family Legacy. To celebrate this launch, you're invited to attend a free simulcast of the first film, titled Your Legacy, any night from October 1st through the 5th.
This film series represents a legacy of love and care that I've tried to leave to my own family.
For a location nearest you, go to buildingafamilylegacy.com. That's buildingafamilylegacy.com.
The director of the Secret Service under fire yesterday on Capitol Hill for recent security breaches at the White House.
Utah's Jason Chaffetz questioning Julia Pearson.
I want it to be crystal clear. You make a run and a dash to the White House, we're going to take you down. I want overwhelming force. Would you disagree with me?
I do want our officers and agents to execute appropriate force for anyone attempting to challenge or breach the White House.
Pearson called the breach unacceptable and vowed it won't happen again.
That's SRN's Wally Hines on Capitol Hill. Meanwhile, a new development on that story today. A senior Democratic lawmaker is openly saying now he wants Secret Service Director Julia Pearson to leave her post after a series of embarrassing security breaches. Representative Elijah Cummings of Maryland says he does not, quote, feel comfortable with her in that position. Cummings is believed to be the first member of Congress to openly call for Pearson's ouster. He made his comments during an MSNBC interview this morning. This is SRN News. A global index reflecting economic security, health, and other factors ranks Norway and Sweden as having the highest level of well-being for older people.
The index was compiled by HelpAge International, a London-based nonprofit. The indicators measured in the index include life expectancy, coverage by pension plans, access to public transit, and the poverty rate for those over 60. The countries in the index are home to about 90% of the world's 60-plus population.
SRN's Rich Tomlinson says of the 90-plus nations in the index, the U.S. ranks number 8 on the list. Ford's U.S. sales dipped 3% in September as the company cut way back on truck discounts in anticipation of a new F-150 later this year. So Ford truck sales were down about 1%. Meanwhile, General Motors' U.S. sales jumped 19% overall in September on big demand for its pickup trucks. More details at SRNNews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's preparing because of, and we'll talk about that in a second, preparing for tomorrow. 8:05 in the morning on October the 1st. I can't say enough about, we've lost September, we've lost August, we've lost, you know what? We've got to hang on to October as long as we can. Just hold on to this one for 31 days at least. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. In the chat room is loaded, and they've got all types of things going on in there. Of course, I'm joined by Bad Bob, who will tell us what the weather's going to be for the rest of the week.
Lots of sunshine, sunny, and a high of in the mid 80s. Pretty darn gorgeous. And overnight lows will be in the 50s. Good sleeping weather. Temperatures will move up as we head into the week, deeper into the week. Should be in the 90s. Thursday and Friday. We should stay away from that 100-degree mark, though, and no rain in sight. We currently have 67 degrees in Reading, and this report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
All right, and Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, locally operated. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call at 365-3793. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. And what I was talking about is Linda's going to be down at Wind River tomorrow, the first Thursday of October, November, December. And it's going to be a great event. She's going to be singing with her group. It's Lady Bott and the Bluebirds. Singing and entertaining from 7 to 9 p.m. And you get there early. That's Romance on the River. Romance on the River. This is a Wind River event. Event in the Elements Lounge, special menu, filet mignon, $20. I mean, that's pretty good. So they're going to have a great time. Like I said, get there a little bit early. Make your reservations, 243-3377, 243-3377, and ask for Elements Lounge and tell them you want to be there for Linda. It's I don't know how many tables are left, but give a call. If you don't want to have dinner, just still show up and join us. We'll be dancing. We're going to have a great time. Rick Hill will be there. He's going to be playing his excellent guitar and how he plays it. Okay. My guest is Brent Weaver, who is running for Reading City Council. Though, and I ask this to every one of them what just possesses you to do that?
You know, first of all, good morning, Carl, Bad Bob, all those out there tuning in. It's a pleasure to be here. What is this, our third, fourth time we've been
and
together?
We'll be one more time. I'm going to get you all one more time at the end of October. So, I mean, you know, just to kind of like, to, you know, it'll be, again, for the people, if they haven't made up their minds yet.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the opportunity to come on, and I'm sure probably some of the other candidates do as well. It's a great venue. And, you know, so what possesses me to run for city council? I believe that if you're in a position to give back, I think it's our responsibility. And I've been incredibly blessed growing up in this community, being a small business owner, and I want to do what I can to make this community safer, not only for my children, but for your children, grandchildren. And I want to see jobs here so that people want to move here, raise families, and make Reading the best place it can possibly be.
Okay. I want to get into something right away. I got an email yesterday, as did probably several others, and it talks about your campaign, and it talks about a golf tournament of your campaign. And what this article says, and this is not from the Record Searchlight, but from a publication, I think.
Okay.
They're talking about your golf tournament that you had back, I think, in what?
It was in the first week of May.
That the people that signed up did not give their names, and that essentially said is that, though it was hosted by Weaver Campaign for the purpose of soliciting funds for your campaign for city council and the price of the tickets, you did not give out the names of the people that were attending the event, and that this may be against what the rules are. And that that you didn't want to give out the names, you didn't, and that you used this to move money from your company into it in circumventing the laws of
sure.
fair political practices. It was real clear what it said. The first question I have is did the author of this call you and talk to you?
No, Carl. I know Red Smith a little bit from running into him during the course of running for the city council seat. And, I learned about this the way everyone else did. I got forwarded the email. And what I will say very, very clearly is during the entire course of this campaign, we have been in touch with the FPPC, which is the Fair Political Practice Commission.
And this is somebody he talks about in the article.
And we have consulted with them with all of our fundraising efforts. We were on the phone with the FPPC several times before the golf tournament, and we were on the phone with FPPC several times after the golf tournament. We are absolutely within compliance of the law, and we are in compliance with the FPPC. Now,
And do you have emails or anything like this concerning this?
I have emails. We have they're going to have phone records. We're going to reach out to the FPPC this morning. As far as I know, there is no investigation going on, and that was kind of alleged in that statement there. The FPPC, my understanding is if there's some type of somebody raises some type of red flag or an issue, they have 24 hours to notify you that there's been an issue raised. I have not been notified of anything. And I'll go a step further, Carl. When we did the golf tournament, we actually had every person who purchased a ticket to play in that golf tournament give us their name, their address, and how much they paid for that to play in the golf tournament. And so to go and be totally forthright, if somebody wants to come down and see me at my office at Weaver Lumber, we'll make a copy for you. I will even today put that log of everyone who played in the golf tournament on my website.
Okay.
We have nothing to hide, Carl. We're running for a city council seat in a small town, and we have nothing to hide.
Okay. Now, one of the things they said here is, and this was one of the big things, is regardless of the outcome, and whether it's a possible breach of campaign law or was a clerical oversight, which you're saying no, it wasn't, because we've talked to them, we were given this is how we said we're going to do it. This is how they told us to do it. Is
correct.
What you've said
absolutely.
And it says that that Brent Weaver attempted to keep his campaign donors anonymous, but you're saying is. No, I'm not. This is just the way it was done. But here, I'm going to put it on my website.
Yeah, we have nothing to hide. And I would make this offer to Red. Red, I'm not going to hold any grudges against you. I want to believe that you truly are trying to protect the constituents and the people you care about and the causes and the issues you have. I will hold no grudges against you. If you want to come down to my office today, I will give you that list personally. And Terry Raposa, I know that you forwarded this to 100 plus people that attend your Tea Party group down there at South Bonneville. I will hold no grudges with you either. Come down to my lumber yard. I'll make a copy of everyone who played in that golf tournament. We've got to get past this us versus them and trying to, if they're not our candidate, we're going to throw some stuff at them. I just wish they would have picked up the phone and called me so I could have answered this for them. And, it's unfortunate. We're all trying to run for office. We care passionately about our issues. But this is the type of stuff, I think, that kind of hurts the process.
Well, in the last paragraphs, it says, and as always, this article is no way a personal attack, nor is it politically motivated. Well, if what I would urge Red, give Brent a call. And if Brent has all this and he's got all the facts that he says he has and he's got the trail. And he's got the names that he's more than happy to do and why he did it, why the Fair Political Commission said to do it this way, then I expect you to come back and say that in your next article. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Carl and DeBott, KCNR, 1460.
I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Redding City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens. And this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Redding City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Ah yes, this is the life. Sun, surf, sand, living on island time. It's good to take a break. Yeah, maybe someday, but right now, there's work to be done. And if you're a business owner, you know that presenting a professional appearance can make all the difference in the world. That goes double for your office. Usually it's the very first impression people get of your company. Join the dozens of North State businesses that have their commercial spaces professionally cleaned by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Since 1987, Maui Bob and his team have embraced the Aloha spirit, putting their clients first with an emphasis on customer satisfaction. And who knows, if your business is more successful because your offices reflect that attention to detail that professional office cleaning gives, maybe you will have more time for that island getaway. Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, on the web at MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Looking for an unusual quality piece of jewelry? Do you have a wristwatch or timepiece that needs to be repaired and you don't know where to go to? Well, Four Winds Jewelry is the place. They have the only watch repair technician in town. Four Winds Jewelry is located at 2225 Hilltop Drive. And Four Winds Jewelry are the experts in gold or loose stones, opals, estate jewelry, or Native American pieces.
Go in and see Leonard and his associates. Four Winds Jewelry, meeting all your jewelry needs. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4 p.m. 222-2750.
Four Winds Jewelry.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your barefoot plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
Breast cancer. The key? Early detection. Help fund mammograms for local women and men. Attend the 17th Annual Breast Cancer Awareness Luncheon, Friday, October 3rd, at the Holiday Inn Convention Center on Hilltop Drive in Reading. Guest speaker Becky M. Olson is an author and co-founder of Breast Friends. Someone will win a beautiful pink pearl necklace or bracelet. Tickets are $35 each. Get them now at Cupler's Furniture on Churn Creek, Banner Real Estate on Hilltop, or call Cheryl at 510-9988. Presented by Seroptimus International of Reading.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
You are never gonna get everything you want in this world. First things first, get what you deserve.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. Carl and DeBott, good morning. It is 8:18 in the morning, 62 degrees. It's going to be a beautiful day today. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends from Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Leidy and his team of instructors offer the most complete CCW training in Northern California. And for a limited time, they will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents who take a basic CCW course. They also have advanced courses, hunting courses, rifle courses, all of these at Northern Firearms. Give them a call at 999-1822. Or register online at readingccw.com, and I urge you when you go to that website, readingccw.com, that you look at the reviews of over about 600 reviews in there of the instruction and the at Northern Firearms, and you're going to be pleasantly surprised, maybe not surprised, but you'll see how many people have enjoyed the training and given it 5 stars. Our guest is Brent Weber, running for Reading City Council, and let's go to the phones. Charles, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm calling because something Mr. Weaver, there's something you've said repeatedly throughout the campaign, and that is plans must always precede ascertainment of available resources, and that doesn't sound like a very responsible, you know, I hope, you know, for some there needs to be some clarification, maybe not, but that, you know, it doesn't sound like a very responsible way to budget something. For instance, I mean, what bond rating agency would want to, you know, rate a city's, you know, bonds if they can't even make their debt service payments? And what would be the point planning for, you know, something that's going to cost, you know, $3 million if all you've got to work with is $300,000? I mean, you're going to have to make a radical change in plans to accommodate the available resource. And so, I mean, it sounds too much like, you know, let's just put down the credit card and worry about the payments tomorrow.
All right.
Maybe there just needs to be some clarification. I'll take my answer on the air. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Charles.
Yeah. Hey, well, Charles, thanks for the question and calling in. You're somebody that I see as a regular at the city council meetings, and I appreciate your involvement in the process here locally. So regarding my statements about before, you know, you talk about funding or asking for money and needing a plan, that's in direct correlation to the public safety question. I would like to see us put together a comprehensive strategic plan of how we're going to move forward as a community with our, you know, the criminal justice system. That includes the jails, the police department, our courts. You know, if one or two get out of whack, it gets, you know, everything out of balance. I would like to see us have this plan, and then we can know how much that plan might cost to implement. And so my point there, Charles, is just that, just like for me as a builder, you know, before I build a building and I go to the bank to work out a loan, I need to know what I'm building and what it's going to cost, my budget. And that's my point with public safety. Before we go out and start spending money on public safety, I want to know how we're going to spend it. What are our benchmarks, our milestones? What are our goals?
So when we go to Measure F on the so right now, then, would you say it's a because you're not sure how it's going to be spent? Are you in favor of it?
You know, I've taken a position that I'm not in favor of Measure F, but it's difficult for me, and I'll tell you why, Carl. Everything that I've learned in my business experience, all the way from when I came out of college and worked in the technology industry, and then I came into Reading and took over the family business and had an opportunity to grow my lumber business, and then the opportunity I've had to build homes and build mixed use projects. All of them have always started with sitting down and really deciding how you want to get from point A to point B, and then you figure out the resource plan and the allocation. And that's where I'm at on this. I want to see that plan and how much we might need before we talk about if we need to ask.
So until then you're not for it.
That is correct.
You need to see how it's going to be spent exactly. Until then, you're against it.
Correct.
All right. Do you think the money is in the budget as other people have said? Everybody's arguing about that one too.
Sure. Yeah, I've listened to the previous radio shows, and plus, if you come to any of our forums, I don't know how many we've had now, 7, 8, and sometimes it gets a little bit lively 40, in there.
46.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You know, I'm certainly looking forward to diving into that budget even more than I have over the past year. And I think we're currently on furloughs every other Friday. We have not, I think we are starting to emerge from the recession, but I don't think we have seen that growth that we're quite expecting yet. So, yeah, we are absolutely going to want to pay attention to how much funding is available and what can be allocated for public safety.
Sorry, I was just out there quieting down the herd.
All right. Yeah, I saw you run out. I thought it was just going to be myself on the radio for the next 40 minutes. And
okay. I don't usually do that. There's just,
I'm going to start talking about my kids.
Your eyes got bigger as I went past you. Yeah. No, there's a lot of people out there, and they're great. You know, they're all just, you know, as most people are, they get excited when they come out around here. Okay. I'm glad that, you know, that we're this one, because it's the – well, let's go to you instead of me saying this.
Sure.
What's your plan to combat crime here
in
the city?
Well, first of all, I've heard, you know, different things, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for all of the other candidates who are running. I think during the course of this campaign, I think we've been, for the most part, respectful and cordial with one another. But this is one issue where I think there is separation and there are differences between the different candidates. I wrote a speaker piece a few months ago, and we talked about several issues that might be included in that strategic plan, everything from reinvigorating Neighborhood Watch, specifically following the model that Jason Schroeder's done up in the Olive Street neighborhoods with Stand Up Reading. We've talked about code enforcement. We've talked about different ways of policing, getting them out of the car onto bikes. We've talked about body cams. So there's a number of things we discuss, but at the end of the day, I think it's really important that those of us running for council, we're not the law enforcement experts, Carl. We're people that are running so we can set vision, set policy, and then we'll give Kurt Starman direction on how to work with Chief Paletti and, you know, other law enforcement experts.
Well, when we get into that, you know, Chief Paletti's got an idea. If he has this much money, he can do this and that. The big problem that a lot of people are talking about is these itinerant transients, I guess, which is being redundant, that are all around here, that they're standing out, the ones begging on the streets, the ones that are surrounding stores. And, you know, they're talking about ordinances that would make it illegal to give people money in medians, and not, you can't stand in medians. You can't hand money to people that are, you know, they're looking for it unless they've got a permit. They're talking about no sitting or lying. Would you support these?
So I term that demographic, that group, lifestyle transients. And if I can, Carl, before I speak specifically towards the lifestyle transients, I'd like to talk about, you know, those who are truly homeless. Because I think it's important to, you know, again, we separate the different buckets of people here. But for those who truly, you know, want that hand up, that have fallen on hard times, myself, you know, both personally, even running for city council, I think all the other candidates, I think there is compassion there. We want to help those who truly need a hand up. But once you cross that line from those who are, you know, there because of circumstance, and you cross that line to those who are choosing that lifestyle, or the AB 109ers who are here, that's where the language starts to get a little bit tougher. And I've heard that from my fellow candidates. I welcome that from them. One of the things that's been impressed upon me is, yeah, we are a caring community, but we've got to be very careful about the number of services that we offer here, because it can act as a magnet to some degree. And so there's been a lot of discussion about, well, you know, are you in favor of this day center? Are you in favor of this affordable housing project that they're talking about up off Brandstetter? It's got to pass a threshold for me that I know it's not going to attract other people into this community. And then also you ask yourself the question of, you know, so the day shelter, as an example, where is that going to go? It's being proposed downtown. I'm not excited about an additional service like that coming downtown, because how will that impact the businesses down here?
Well, you know, if they put it in a police station, I've got a lot of severe problems with that one. You know, the old police station, because that's very close to us. The fact is that the scenery in Reading has changed. And you can say, oh, this is, you know, it's like this everywhere. Well, but it's not like this everywhere. There's other like up in Medford. Yeah. It's not around Medford. What is Medford doing differently?
Yeah. Well, I can't speak for Medford, but what I will say about Reading, I think there needs to be a mentality of elected leaders, law enforcement experts, that we are going to be tough and we're going to get tougher on these lifestyle transients that are here. You know, I've seen, I think it was in the paper a month and a half ago, we saw those enduro motorcycles. I want to see stuff like that going up into our canyons, and we need to enforce that illegal camping ordinance.
Would you push for having people that have private property that aren't doing anything to keep transient or illegal camps for them getting fines and being pursued through codes and all this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you own property, you have a responsibility to keep it safe, and that you aren't going to have stuff taking place on your property that's going to be adverse to your neighbors, or, you know, whether it's a house or another property. And absolutely, code enforcement is a tool that currently right now, Carl, there are discussions taking place right now I know Chief Paletti's leading the charge on that, and I commend him for that, to reinvigorate code enforcement. I think that's a tool that can absolutely bear fruit, not only in some of the more, you know, rural parts of our community, but I think right downtown, looking at some of these hotels and motels here that are being operated, I think we can go after them.
Yeah, there's something about walking by one of our local motels right down here on Marsh Street and watching people puke off the second story onto the parking lot as you're walking by to a really nice place to go to have lunch.
Well, to go to the Kobe restaurant, have dinner with your family. I'm going there tonight for my son's birthday, and I always want to.
We offer concealed carry classes, Brent. You might want to avail you and your wife of these.
That's right.
Hey, okay, we got to take a break here. Our guest is Brent Weaver, running for Reading City Council. We've addressed something that came out in a local weekly newspaper. With accusations that the Weaver campaign was trying to hide money, move money around, and then hide who their donors are. Brent has addressed this, and if you have any questions on that, you could be sure to call him. If you want to see who the donors are, he's going to put them on his website. And he's got so this is something that is I'm not sure if it's a tempest in the teapot, but I hope that after the people that wrote it, that they go look at this and they talk to Brent, which they didn't do, is that they come back and say, okay, maybe we were wrong on this. I think that's the honorable thing to do. All right, we'll be right back.
This is Aaron.
And this is Bill.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream media sound bites every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. We dig into the politics of public policy, land use, and Agenda 21. We cover smart growth, immigration, veterans affairs, education, guns, mining, timber, water, and the many, many scams of sustainable development.
You know, for almost 4 years, we've spoken to famous and not so famous people from around the world who bring a perspective of limited constitutional government, fiscal responsibility, free markets, and common sense.
Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us for extensive archives and upcoming show information.
It's the most fun you can have with topics that will make your blood boil.
Join us for We the People Radio every Sunday morning from 8 to 10 here at KCNR 1460 AM.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff this and every Sunday for a full 2 hours of in-depth discussion with the experts in their field. Things you won't hear in the mainstream media. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
Faced with a floundering writing career, Sidney receives an unsolicited script of a thriller that he instantly recognizes as a hit, and he will do anything to improve his fortunes. And so begins a twisting, turning roller coaster tale that will leave you gasping. The Riverfront Playhouse presents Ira Levin's Death Trap, now playing through October 11th. Tickets available at the Cascade Theater box office or by calling 243-8877. Death Trap. Go ahead, scream a little. It's good for you.
Beginning October 1st, the KCNR 1460 daily lineup changes with Laura Ingram from 9 a.m. to noon. Then, noon to 3, America's favorite financial and political analyst, Dave Ramsey, with one of the highest-rated programs on the radio today. Mark Levin will remain at 3 to 6, followed by Dennis Miller and Roger Hedgecock. KCNR 1460 with Nate Arborea on sports and more local programming than anyone else in Northern California. KCNR 1460, the pulse of the North State.
Going shopping?
Explore the choices.
And shop Reading.
Hello, this is Frank Strazzarino, president of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce. Did you know that when you buy goods and services in Reading, you are supporting a local business, its owner, and employees in these tough economic times, and your tax dollars give us better police and fire protection, maintain our roads, parks, and trail system, and contribute to our Reading quality of life.
Going shopping?
Explore the choices.
And shop Reading.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 8:34 in the morning, 68 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful day. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue, across from the subway right there in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, of course, and great haircuts. Man's Last Stronghold, discounts for seniors and veterans. I go get my haircut there. It's Cheers. You know what? If all my hair fell out tomorrow, I'd still go down there. And just to listen to what goes on, just to listen to Tim and talk to people on the phone when these telemarketers call, it is outstanding. He's kept them on there for, I think the record is 48 minutes, a telemarketer. Had him on, had his boss on, had his boss's boss on, and at the end says, no, we're not interested. Anyway, okay, here our guest today is Brent Weaver, running for Reading City Council. We've talked about crime. We've talked about that you would get behind ordinance there to make things of life a lot harder on transients that are here. The homeless is a different, and you differentiated between the homeless that want help and that we can do something about, the ones that need help but they are not especially lucid all the time, and then those who have just made a lifestyle choice. And frankly, if you talk to police, they will tell you the most of the ones they run into are the ones who have just made that choice. All right, let's talk about unfunded liabilities. This is a huge thing. $300 million, I believe, is the term I've used. I've had Kurt Starman sit where you're sitting, along with Gary Cadd, and both of them saying the same thing, is that this is something that it's a huge deficit we're running. And then I've had one of the city council candidates said, "Oh, it's kind of like a mortgage; we'll just pay it off." But that's not necessarily true, because the mortgage keeps getting added onto. It's like an adjustable rate mortgage.
Yes, and.
So what are you going to do about that?
Well, okay, what I'm going to do about it, but before that, let's talk about why we are all concerned about unfunded liabilities. Because if we do not get on top of our unfunded liabilities, you know, that figure you use, $300 million, if it's slightly under, slightly more, it's still such a large number. It should have all of us extremely concerned in how we're going to deal with this. So the concern is, look at a pie chart. Look at a pie chart, and what percentage of our revenues are we spending towards, to keep our community safe, to protect it against fire, you know, parks and rec, all these number of issues. And if we don't get on top of that unfunded liabilities, and we don't see it continue to shrink, then what happens is we start debt servicing a larger percentage of that pie towards obligations. And then that means we can't hire police officers or fire.
We go from that 71 or 72 cents a dollar to 75 cents a dollar.
Yes. And that's why I think, first of all, you got to start there with that basic understanding that if you don't get on top of it, we're going to be able to hire less people to make sure this community is the best community it can be, one. Okay. Two, so how am I going to deal with it? So owning, being a small business owner, I have 40 employees, and every year, and even quarterly, monthly, weekly, I am constantly reviewing different reports, trying to understand what my obligations are, you know, both to material suppliers, retirement plans, health insurance, wages. And it's something that you are constantly struggling with, and you're adapting and you're making changes. So the first thing I would say is, so often we get, as far as this conversation on the radio right now and with some of the other candidates, it gets all focused on labor. And that's, don't get me wrong, that's a big component of this discussion, but it's not the entire discussion. Yes, we got to make sure we negotiate fairly, but also negotiate in such a way that we have a sustainable model moving forward with wages.
Should the workers pay more into their retirement?
You know, I'm not going to make a position on that yet. I want to sit down that first time when we sit down for the negotiations and we're at that table. And I think it would not be fair to that process to until I'm elected as a city council person and before we are prepped and go into that first round of negotiations. I want to have that. I want to make sure I have the information available at that time before I make that call. But
shouldn't that be part of it, though? I mean,
it should definitely be something that is considered. Absolutely. But I'm just not going to commit myself to it right now. But should it be considered? Yes. I think it's critical. One of the things that's been impressed upon me running my business, having 40 different employees, managers, is making sure that negotiations are done in good faith. I think what we've seen over the last 6 to 8 years, we've seen a lot of finger pointing across that table. Do I think the next several rounds of negotiations are going to be difficult and be tough? Yeah, I think they are. But can we do it in such a way where we don't alienate half of our community against the other half? That we've got to change, Carl.
Okay, I agree with that. But when you go back to the other, when you say that we've got a
You know, we've got to look at everything. You need all the information, but at any point you look at is that not all of our employees. We have great city. First of all, we have great city and county employees. We just do, but we also have the top 1% wage earners in this county are working for the city. And when I hear you say, and this is, I'm getting some things in here, is when I hear you say, well, I don't know if it should be part, you know, this should be on the table that the unions pay more into it. Then if they don't pay more into it, means then the taxpayers pay more into their retirement and health cost.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, not that they're not taxpayers, but yeah. But you see what I'm saying is that guys that are making $40,000 a year, seeing people are making $140,000 a year.
Well, Carl, I think it's really important. I think the easy thing right now would be to say, oh, yeah, well, yeah, we're going to make sure they all pay more into it. But I think it's really important as a leader, before you step into that negotiating room, that you have not, you know, especially during a campaign that might be, what, 6-8 months removed from the actual negotiation. I don't think that's any smart leader or negotiator that it's something I'm absolutely going to consider. It might be something I get behind, but I want to make sure that as I run for council, I'm being as honest as I can possibly be. And I know that from negotiating at my business, my personal business, you have to have all of the facts at the moment you step in to negotiate. And I don't want to tie my arms behind my back. I want to have all the information before we negotiate. And that's just how I see it.
Okay. Unfunded liabilities. When we start talking, how about the idea of privatization?
One of the things that I think is very clear with this, I guess if you want to say this new era we're moving into, we have decrease in revenue coming in. This is true locally, the state, federally. We're going to have to do things differently. And I think that's one of the things that's positive about seeing new leaders come up and a younger generation. I wouldn't turn the steering wheel of the car over to, you know, everyone from my age demographic. But I think it's very helpful to have people from that age demographic mixed in with, you know, some, I guess, more mature generations, because technology has changed so much. The way we communicate through social media has changed. Business models have changed. And privatization, I think we've seen models where it's worked very effectively here in Reading. And what I would say is I'd be open to all types, at least listening and seeing if there's a better way to do something in the form of privatization. The only two areas I absolutely would never consider for privatization would be police or fire.
Do you see the priorities for for a city council would be public safety and infrastructure?
For me, I've been very clear over the past year, the number one issue, if Brent Weaver is elected, that I will not rest until we can achieve an adequate level of public safety. That is absolutely the issue I'm running on, and it's the issue I will spend all my efforts on if elected.
If Measure F does not pass, then?
Well, I will be doing the same thing if elected, if Measure F passes or does not pass, which is I will be trying to impress upon my colleagues on the city council that we need to respectfully instruct Kurt to move forward working with Chief Paletti and the county as well on a comprehensive strategic plan. That will be the first thing I try to push forward, regardless of whether Measure F passes or not.
If you're doing that, because one of the other candidates says, I think we can take, or a couple other candidates said, I'm going to go back and look at the budget. There's money there. By cutting, you know, telling everybody to take 3 or 5% off their yearly budget, and then if for the priority to be go back into the police department.
Yeah, you know, I want to be respectful to their position. I think they, you know, they've put their thought into that. I don't know that passes the smell test for me because of the fact that we're currently on furloughs every other Friday, knowing the number of jobs that are currently vacant in the different departments down there. I don't know that we're going to be successful going department by department and shaving 3 to 5%. Am I open to that? Will I absolutely, you know, want to audit and look at there? Sure, absolutely. But I think we're going to have a hard time getting the necessary revenue just from cutting 5% from each department.
Okay. We've got a caller in, and I think I know what Billy Bob's going to ask, but if he doesn't, I'll ask it right after that. Billy Bob, good morning.
I know, Carl, you get to it. Appreciate the phone call. Listen, Brent, as you discuss all this problem, problematic, excuse my hesitancy there, but problematic situations in the city. I've got to really turn the thing on its ear and suggest, as I have before, that these impact fees and building permits, as you well know, are just absolutely stifling the construction industry. That was what Carl was mentioning. But again, I want to suggest and have people think about the fact that our 71 cents for employees and the fact that a firefighter watching Oprah waiting for a fire is making $15,200 a month, including his benefits, is absolutely ridiculous. And that the only way we're going to take back our city is by reducing everybody's pay scale. It's absolutely outrageous that everybody else has to make $40,000-$50,000 a year, and all these top cats in the city are making $250,000. So I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you, Carl.
You bet, Billy Bob.
Hey, Billy, I appreciate that question. So I think you had two parts to that question. The first was the building permits, and then the second one was wages.
Yeah, and we need to address – I was going to get to the building permits afterwards. Let's talk wages first, because it kind of follows up with what we were saying.
Well, first I would encourage Billy Bob or anyone else, if you want to know what it's like to work in the fire department, I encourage you to do a ride-along. I've had the opportunity to do that. And it impressed upon me how difficult that job is. We were nonstop. I mean, this is going out and supporting the ambulances who are getting people who are passed out, drunk, thrown up all over themselves behind Hinkle's Market, to going over, you know, and some of these lifestyle transients that are passed out in the park. I mean, we dealt with some very, very sketchy stuff. So I would just say this. It's not quite as simple as just sitting there waiting for a fire. They do a lot more than just that. Regarding the pay, though, hey, I got to tell you, running my business, having 40 employees, it's something that's constantly on my mind. Every single day is, okay, are my employees happy? Are they going to want to stay here? Can I afford to pay them with my revenue model that I have at Weaver Lumber? And I think it's no different at the city. You absolutely have got to be concerned about your pay scale. Can you retain them? Is it sustainable? The new hires coming in, can they be promised the same thing that those came before them? And I've been public. I've been on this radio show where I've said, we're going to have to be honest with the new hires coming in and saying, hey, we made some promises to the people that came before you, and we've found that we can't keep those promises. So here's the new deal. I think being honest with the new people coming in the door, I think that's one of the ways you approach this.
I think people need to understand is that, I mean, everybody, you know, first responders and this, but I think you're right, is that the follow-ons, you know, if you've already got a contract, that's it. You got a contract. And if you've got a retirement, you've got a retirement. That's it. Don't touch it. But we do have to be honest. Now, we got to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the permitting and this whole process, that, you know, in building. Now, I also understand is that there's been some potentially good news out at Stillwater. And everybody's got their thumbs up, hoping. But the whole process here, and we're trying to get the head of the permitting on from the city, because we want to talk to him, because there's so many anecdotal things, both good and bad, that we need to talk about. You know, the whole how they do it. But you've gone through this, and I remember you talking to me. I don't know if you remember what you said to me, a few years ago when you were putting in the restaurant down the street. But I want to talk about that when we get back. Carl Lindebot, our guest Brent Weaver.
Laws continue to tighten up across the country. Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Redding. Join the revolution.
said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Tomorrow at Wind River, of course, is Linda is singing from 7 to 9 with her group out there. It's Romance on the River there at Wind River. Special menus and the whole shooting match right there. And it's going to be a great time. You get there, you want to make reservations, give them a call at 243-3377. 243-3377. It's Romance on the River. Call, ask for the Elements Lounge. Dining, drinking, dancing. Okay, starting today at 9 o'clock, Laura Ingram moves to, from 9 to noon live, and so you can call Laura. From 12 to 3, we're introducing Dave Ramsey, and I don't know if we can say we're introducing him because everybody seems to have heard him. He's got the largest number of radio stations that he appears on with financial and other advice, you know, something that you don't have somebody pounding about how bad the world is. He's second only behind Rush. And then, of course, Mark Levin, who then picks up the pounding, gavel that he uses right away. And it's easy to imitate Mark Levin. I just let him start talking like this and then go back again. Anyway, all that is starting today at 9 o'clock. We're here with
It's hard for me to talk after what I just saw visually. I mean, you guys only heard it, but you should have seen Carl's face. I mean,
well, you know what? I'm listening to Levin, and he said, this guy's great. And he starts talking. He's talking normal. All of a sudden, for like about 20 seconds, and he's back down again. It's like, whoa. Anyway, Brent Weaver's here running for city council. Let's talk about the permitting process here. Okay. And I want to get into Turtle Bay real quick. You've gone through this. You built here, and I remember things you've said to me before about the cost and all this. I mean, is this something that you're going to jump into? I hope you will.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong what they're doing down there. In fact, we want to get the permitting guy on, but
yeah. And I hope that I'm not sure if that's Bill Nagel or who you're speaking to, Eric Main. But anyways, whoever you bring on, I hope they do come on because it'll be very, very helpful for them to come on. So you said something I think was spot on, Carl. You said regarding the building department, it's very anecdotal. I've over the past 6-7 months, as the only person running for city council who's actually, worked in the trades and built homes and built commercial projects. It's taken a little bit of self-control to not start laughing at times because it is anecdotal. And I've heard some of my fellow candidates make statements that are not even closely remotely grounded on fact. And that's okay. I understand it's a campaign season and we say things, but I think it's very, very important to not say something that I think hurtful to some of those employees at the billing department. Is there areas to improve there? Absolutely. And I've said that several times with different people I've worked with in that department. Now, regarding the fee structure, I am actually when I built the project next door, Carl, the Gateway building, I was, to say shocked, that is very mild how I felt when I got my fees for that building. In particular, it was the traffic impact fee and what I paid for that. I want to say it was roughly in the high 200,000 range for that building for traffic in it. So I, what I did.
You paid $200,000 for a traffic
study? $200,000
plus. For a traffic study?
For traffic impact fees for that building.
So just for that?
Just for that building next door.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went down to the city and I kind of challenged him. I said, well, so what avenues are available to me? Because I'm kind of questioning how high that fee is. And so I got educated that, well, what you can do is you can hire a private, you know, consultant to come out and check the traffic studies. And when it, long story short, it was going to cost me roughly $30,000 to $40,000 to figure out if it was accurate or not. And what developer contractor has an extra $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 sitting on the side? So it was very, very painful to. You know,
I've heard that story from other people where they've used averages that had nothing to do with reality, and their answer is always the same thing. Go get your own traffic study.
Yeah. And the building department has heard that. They've heard that from Brent Weaver. They've heard this from several people that have gone in there and challenged them. It happens, I would say, maybe not daily, but I would say weekly. People go in there and they challenge them. So in the last year, the city building department has recently just done an overall review of their building permit fees, okay? And this is where I think the separation is with some of the candidates, because I think we have three candidates that are saying waive some of the building permit fees, and then I've held that I don't know that we should cut those building permit fees, not because I don't want to, but my question would be, was there something in that study in the past year that was wrong or flawed or not honest? And if that's the case, I want Patrick or Michael DeQuisto or Mike Quinn to tell me, well, what in there is flawed or not right? Because you know, I've heard some people say, well, if that person doesn't build because the building permit fee is too high, then that's money we don't have. You know what? I kind of look at it somewhat from the perspective of if somebody doesn't come in and buy 10 pieces of 2x4, yeah, that's money I don't have, but I still have the 10 2x4s. There is a fee for water, for sewer hookups, electrical, and those have to be paid. So I just think you got to be very, very careful. If you're going to cut the fees, well, what's going to give?
Okay. I think somebody said that the fees, when they did that study, they said, oh, your fees are too low.
Well,
that's what Francie said.
Yeah, I don't know that I would agree with that.
Okay. I think Francie said that because we were talking about permanent. All right. Measure B, Turtle Bay. This is a big thing. We're going to finish up with this one. For or against?
I'm for Measure B, and I'll tell you why. I want to see the jobs during the course of construction. I want to see the permanent jobs when that hotel is done. I want to see the improvement to those other businesses that are going to support that hotel. I want to see the synergy between that hotel and the Civic Center, our Turtle Bay campus. I think it's a very positive project, and I want to see it take place.
The opposite says is that if you support that as a politician, that you're against labor. You don't want them to have a living wage.
And I think that's the way I view it, because the land is being sold to a private entity who is not a public institution, in this case the McConnell Foundation, then by the law it is no longer a subsidy, so it doesn't trigger prevailing wage.
Okay, so you're not against laborers and union people having a living
public
wage.
Public works projects should have a livable wage, and I'm very comfortable with that, but I'm also very comfortable that let the private sector do what the private sector wants to do.
Okay. All right, we've got like 2 minutes left. Brent, give us your vision for the future.
All right, three things, Carl. First is public safety. If we can achieve that adequate level of public safety, that's going to do more than anything else during the course of this campaign that we're talking about to improve the quality of life for our citizens. Two, it's going to see local businesses and businesses from out of the area want to invest in Reading. Two, I want to see us sell the lifestyle of Reading better, more effectively, so that families will want to be here, will attract tourism dollars.
And then that also plays into my third point, which is we need to do a better job, the city, the county, the EDC, Chamber of Commerce, of recruiting those type of industries that can provide livable wages for families to want to be here. And I think that's the technology sector.
Do you have any problem with, say, another country coming in here wanting to buy land at Stillwater?
Well, I certainly would want to look at what they want to put in Stillwater. But, hey, we want to see
jobs. Foreign investment.
Well, I'd want to know, again, what the type of company it is that they want to put in there. So I'd be open to it. I want to make sure it's not going to hurt our economy and hurt us here. But, hey, if there are jobs for the Reading citizens, we want to see jobs here.
Okay. Brent Weaver has been our guest today. I think we've addressed most everything I can think of. There's probably some things I haven't. I try to ask the same questions to everybody. In your case, a little bit different because of the way we started today. You want to hear what Brent has said all day today? Just go to our archives this afternoon. Tomorrow, Brad Long from our Veterans Service Center will be here with us, along with a number of other people. And, of course, Friday in studio will be Congressman Doug LaMalfa. And we'll be talking about what's going on in Congress, ISIS, and the other things that are happening back in D.C., if you can ever keep track of them. Thanks a lot, Brent, for being with us today.
Thank you, Carl.
And remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
But I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Two senior congressmen calling for the resignation of Secret Service Director Julia Pearson. Utah Republican Jason Chaffetz and Maryland Democrat Elijah Cummings say they've lost confidence and trust in her ability to protect the president. This follows the latest White House security breach, a fence-jumping incident. But at the White House, spokesman Josh Earnest is defending Pearson.
She took responsibility, both for what happened and for ensuring that it never happens again. And I think that is a testament to her leadership and her commitment to this job.
Following an intense grilling on Capitol Hill yesterday, Pearson promised an internal review. Congressman Darrell Issa says that's not good enough. He wants an independent review. Texas Governor Rick Perry to hold an afternoon news conference at a Dallas hospital where a man with the first case of Ebola diagnosed in the U.S. is in isolation. CDC Director Dr. Tom